Hello, I'm Dr. Lou Condor, technical communicator, writer, editor, and adjunct lecturer at California State University, Dominguez Hills. Welcome to C Cubed, Clear, Concise Communication. This is the podcast for the information design course. In this class, we discuss document design, layout, graphics, and usability in technical documentation.
Hi, class. I thought I'd do a podcast, and I will post the slideshow for it in the classroom so that you can look at it. But one of the things I wanted to discuss with you, since this is the final course in the series, is what to expect and how do you get technical writing work. I know that you've done a little bit in the first class about resumes and stuff like that, but I think it's really worthwhile to go over and look at what is the expectations for the job market and kind of give you some ideas on what you can do. Now, the first thing to know is what area of technical writing do you want to work in? There's aviation, there's aerospace like NASA, there's medical devices, pharmaceutical, hospitals, mortgage and banking industries. Yes, they really do have a lot of tech writers. Basically, they're focused on the financial aspect, but yes, they do have them. Food processing, food safety, agriculture, automotive. Automotive hires a lot of technical writers. Anybody from Honda on down. And you don't have to just think cars. You can think motorcycles and off-road, ATV. If that excites you, then focus on that area. There's the process industry, manufacturing, chemical, and mining industries. The process industry includes nuclear and a lot of different areas, and basically it focuses on processes such as oil refining, upstream oil manufacturing. Basically, you know, they'll take the oil and they'll create other products with it. Utilities such as water and power, entertainment, gaming, and animation. Yes, that's kind of under software, but it's its own thing. So if you're a gamer, I've had a student in a previous course who's a gamer. They focused on that. So it's something to keep in mind. You have training, you have nonprofit, you have universities, research, government, military, and of course the big one is software. Now, what you probably should do, if you haven't done it already, is go to LinkedIn. Okay, so now you're going, but I don't really know where I want to focus. That's a lot. And what do I have to know? Easy to figure that out. So you go to LinkedIn and you create an account if you don't have one. And then you do a search for technical writing, technical communication, and technical recruiters. And what you'll do is you'll come up with a group of jobs. And sometimes technical writing or technical writer isn't always used as a term. They will use other terms for that, researcher, things like that. And you might think, well, researcher, but it really is technical writing because they want you to focus, maybe if you are specialized in an area, they want you to focus on that area so you already know it and do a lot of the work before you talk to the SME. So that's not unusual. Sometimes the word writer has a stigma to it, and some organizations prefer not to use the term writer, so they'll use communicator, they'll use technical training. I've done those, and it was really technical writing, but they called it technical training. So it's something to keep in mind. What do different jobs want from you, right? So some areas to check out are the tools. You know, software, there's, you know, they'll ask for types of software. Web information, like do you know HTML, do you know CSS, which are cascading style sheets, do you know programming, etc. The more you know, the more money you will make. That's just the simple bottom line. And the more jobs you'll be available for. So, but you don't have to know those. In other words, you don't have to focus on anything like software and think it's super complicated, because it's really not. As you see in class, a lot of it is about processes, and those processes exist in every company. So what kind of experience and qualifications do people want, employers want, in specific fields? Okay. And that's one of the things is, are they heavily focused on manuals? Do they want the Adobe suite? The Adobe suite is one of the suites that they kind of focus on a lot. You'll see, you know, some groups want InDesign, some groups want Photoshop. So, you know, they want maybe Illustrator. So if you do illustrations, which I know some of you do, fantastic. You probably already know at least one of these programs. There's also an Adobe package that's for technical communication. It has RoboHelp and stuff like that. I don't know if you really need that. I've never used it. And I know that not a lot of groups use it. But if you know it, fantastic, because it also, you know, will get you in. You can also download Adobe stuff for 30 days for free. So it's just something to keep in mind if you had to hurry up and learn something like Photoshop. And your YouTube is your friend, so you can go there and learn a lot for free. Check out optional titles. Like I said, technical communicator, analyst. That's a big one that they'll use. I've been called an analyst on multiple occasions where all I've done is technical writing. Technical trainer, communication specialist. Make sure you look around, poke around, see what titles people are using, and don't be put off by the huge mountain of things they want you to know. If you know about half of them, that'll be really helpful. So you can save your job searches in LinkedIn and create searches to email you for these jobs, which is absolutely phenomenal. And I do that. I have that all set up for me. I teach and I do that. So I have one that looks for teaching type jobs and one that looks for training and one that looks for technical writing, because I do all three, just what I like to do. Create your profile and make sure you restrict who can see it to people in your circle. Recruiters will be able to see it anyway, so don't worry about it. They'll be able to see your work because they pay to do that. But you want to prevent, I say, identity theft. So you really want to restrict to people in your circle and start building up your associates. Okay, that really helps. Send out requests for recruiters to join your network. I've never had them say no. And I'm so surprised. I get like four or five different recruiters going, hey, are you interested in this job? Some I qualify, some maybe not, but they pulled me out of the list. They must think I have some sort of qualification. So keep that in mind when they contact you. And you can also say, I'm not looking for a job and don't contact me. So you can also, you can set all these flags up inside of LinkedIn. You can watch some YouTube videos. They also have their own videos and it's really, really quite easy to set up. Create, polish, and make your portfolio as good as possible. So that is what we've been doing. We've been working on portfolios, but you want to go back when the certificate's over and everything you've learned now, go back and reread and relook at all the earlier stuff in the advanced class. Make sure it's grammatically as good as you can get it. You know, just make sure your stuff is really clean and tight. The writing is precise the way you want it. And you just want to be professional. You can do online or you can do a portfolio case. You still need your stuff digital because all recruiters will request examples. I have a website that has a secured area and then an open area. The open area is stuff that's been published. It's available to the public. So I just put it in there and say, hey, I've ghostwritten and done all these other things. Here's publications. So if you have those, which you may or may not, it's fine. You should have maybe 10, 12, 15 of your best pieces. If you don't have that many, that's fine, but just put a number of your best pieces. Online advantages are you can control who sees it, when they see it, if they're allowed to see it. You need to look professional and just ask yourself, how can I make something better? You know, and feel free to make your own on the side. If you see something on a job and they're like, oh my gosh, they're asking for this all over the place, like safety manual, make one. Go online, look at some safety manuals, examples, and make your own and make it better. Okay. And I see nothing wrong in you, you know, saying, oh, well, I did this. I created this. I saw a need. I created it. I'm excited. And that is why I said, find what areas you want to work in. It's so vast in technical writing. But you do need your portfolio ready before a job. You could print them out and put them in a case and bring it with you for the interview. Sometimes I do that anyway. I have some samples. And I always print out your resume and anything like that because, you know, people will, I've been in meetings. You look very prepared when you hand over a printed resume and stuff like that. Now, but I think they like some of the manuals I put in are a little bit longer. It's my choice. You only need so many couple pages of each document example, but I put in longer ones. And for me, that's helped. They won't look at the whole thing, but they might randomly look at different pages or areas that they're trying to figure out if they want, if you have the experience they need or will produce what they like. Make your resume as professional as possible, but I know you've gone over that. You'll have more than one version because you'll probably want to tweak it for each job. Oh, don't go back more than 10 years in a job. I'm sure you're aware of this. Make sure you have your certificate because they will ask. It gives you street creds, but the certificate also, most people don't have a degree in technical writing. You can get one, but most people don't. They have focused on other areas, and some people don't even have a degree. I had a student who was in car slash automotive manufacturing. They would do all this stuff on the floor, and they were a manager, and then they got laid off. So they thought they'd take technical writing, and they thought, I don't have any background. I mean, I don't have anything. I'm not technical. I'm like, oh yes, you are. And I convinced her to look at the areas of manufacturing. One of the number one areas for technical writers is processes in manufacturing. I said, you know, you're OSHA certified, you have safety backgrounds, etc. She's very excited. She got a job before she finished her certificate. So she was very happy with that. And I said, yeah, you just have to focus. Now you can always move around. When you first start, you can't be as picky as you can later on. Because what happens is you want to build up that, you know, a couple of years experience. Most places will like 1, 2 years experience minimum. Just take, you know, at the entry level, just take, and even if you don't have that much, you kind of do because you've worked at companies most likely. It applies to whatever you've done, your past experience. If you can speak multiple languages, I'd say let them know, unless you don't want to translate. If you really wanted to do that, that is a very big bonus. You'll see all different languages, not just Spanish, but you know, Japanese, etc. Where people they don't they know they won't have to pay a translator, and they also know that if they bring in things that you can read it and then put it out. So just make sure if you want, you can tell people that. Highlight any special skills, soft skills especially, like dealing with SMEs. So we talked about SMEs, the subject matter experts. They want to know that you can actually go and ask them the right questions. That's why there was focus on questions and what we're going to ask an SME and how to treat them. Make sure you're on time and cordial and keep the interview short, etc. Any knowledge you have is a bonus in technical writing. Now, list any certifications you have. I used to have even my old ones that were expired, like CCNA, Six Sigma, PMP, which is project management. Do you know any other certification stuff? I knew SOX. So I was hired for a job to do technical writing with SOX compliant, which is the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, ISO, HIPAA, FERPA, CSA, FMCE. A lot of those, like that's a whole laundry list of different types of certifications. You know, there's so many types of jobs out there. So you really, really want to see what you want to do. If you know any operating systems really well, whatever aspect of technical writing you want to go into, you want to know some software. So we're gonna look at what else do I need to know, and that is learn some software. You can do it on YouTube. Right now, as a student, you have LinkedIn Learning for free. Take advantage because that's a little bit expensive and it's really, really good. If you thought you might be doing more training, oh, you know, Captiva. I mean, start looking at a lot of the other ones where you do video. I loved writing video scripts. I mean, I did it the last company. It was all about training and video and giving the customer how to, you know, maybe configure a very specific device. It was very fun. Really, the must-knows are Microsoft Office. Plus, so you really want to know PowerPoint, Excel, at least the basics of Excel, because everyone loves somebody who knows something about Excel, Word, of course, because Word is pretty much de facto. A lot of time when I'm working at companies, they'll give me Photoshop. I really think the Adobe products and Office, with Office being number one. If you know the Adobe products really well, you've got Audition, which is what this is being recorded on. You've got everything from Photoshop to InDesign. I mean, I really know InDesign, no Illustrator. So look at the different fields and see what they want. Really try to figure out what you like and where you want to go. That's it. Have a good rest of your day. That's it for this podcast. Thank you for joining me. Music for this recording was supplied by Dano Songs royalty-free music at www.danosongs.com. Copyright 2018.